3D printed guns have been in the news ever since 3D printing was developed, and laws around them are still quite a bit murky. In Queensland, a legal precedent has been set as Kyle Wirth was given a 6-month suspended sentence for fabricating a number of gun parts. Here to discuss this issue is Richard Matthews, a PhD candidate from the University of Adelaide. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Richard.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
I'm actually Sam, but yes.
Sam, sorry about that.
Totally fine. What laws currently exist around 3D printed guns?
Well, 3D printed guns actually exist in quite a unique period at the moment, because we've got a lot of legislation that already surrounds the manufacturing of firearms without a license, making that illegal already. So what a 3D printer does is it just adds another tool to this already existing legislation, basically meaning that there's no need for a new law surrounding the 3D printed gun as such. It's just basically saying that if you're going to manufacture a firearm without a license and you use a 3D printer to do it, you're still going to be breaking the law.
And of course, with 3D printing, you can't easily print, you can't just print out whatever you want. It's not just a matter fabricator. So what's the process actually involved around putting together like a 3D printed firearm?
Well, at the moment, you can't print whatever you want because we don't have atomic level printing, but that's set to come out probably to the residential home in probably about the next 15 to 20 years. So it's important that we do get this legislation right now, defining what a 3D blueprint is. And that's basically what you're talking about. So what we need is we need some sort of digital model or a 3D model of a part to start off with. And from that, we then develop what's known as an STL file. That then is then loaded into a different program called a slicer. And we then slice this 3D model down into layers that are probably no more than about 10 microns or 20 microns thick. No thicker than probably about 2 or 3 sheets of paper. That file then is then loaded onto a printer and it then gets printed out.
Now, a big part of legislation around firearms relies upon the fact that you tend to know who's supplying them and where people can get them. With 3D printing, how does it make it more difficult to regulate?
So making it more difficult to regulate means that basically, so in America, if I take it over to there, there's a product called the AR-15. And a lot of the legislation and discussion around the legislation for firearms exists around this product because of the part on that weapon called the lower end receiver. Now, on this part, they actually print a serial number on it when it's manufactured legally. Of course, when you're doing this on a 3D model, you can actually erase that serial number. Now, then you go to print that part, you don't have a serial number at all on there, so it's completely invisible to any government process. The same thing would happen here with any other sort of firearm.
Right. And so I guess moving forward, as you said, we're going to have a possibility of atomic level printing and things like that. Will this make, you know, gun laws, current gun laws, basically useless in a lot of ways? Will they have to just completely rethink how they're enforcing it?
No, I think what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to look at the way they're enforcing it. And that's what New South Wales has done in particular by defining a 3D blueprint. Now, that can be taken across into many, many other aspects of the law at the moment with respect to atomic level printing. Because in the future, we're going to be able to print things like drugs at home. So instead of going down to the chemist and buying a box of Panadol, you're literally going to be dialing it up on your 3D printer and printing out a Panadol capsule at home. Now, of course, this raises new concerns with home drug labs for things like ice and other illegal substances that you don't want to have people to have access to. So what we need to start thinking about is how do we classify these 3D blueprints and actually ensure that the ones that shouldn't be coming out to the general public maintain that and they stay away from the general public.
Okay, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Richard, to speak about it.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's been my pleasure.